The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, 89.7 WTBR-FM and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Today we have a special live broadcast from Taconic High School. And now your host, Bill Sturgeon.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive, live from Taconic High School Studios. I want to, first of all, thank the mayor of the city of Pittsfield for joining me today. Thank all of you for joining and tuning in. But as importantly, all the young students that are here with Mr. Choquette to make this production happen. They don't have to be here this early, but they're here. We try to do this once a month. And to me, it's the high spot of my month to come out here and work with these young people and see how hard they're working to learn a trade that will be very on the saleable market, if you know what I mean. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. And as I mentioned, my guest, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Peter Marchetti. And Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming in early. This reminds me of the old days at Taconic.
Yeah, but the studio looks so much different than the old days.
You didn't have to worry about a 286 computer that they're storing for some reason.
You know, I can still remember the first time I toured the building as mayor and toured this facility. Yeah. And it was like, wow, you guys are giving PCTV a run for their money.
Oh, yeah, they are. And I have to say this. They have a teacher. He's worth my weight in gold, Mr. Choquette. He's knowledgeable on every aspect of broadcasting, which makes him invaluable.
Right. I mean, I think that's important. And the students interacting this morning.
Oh, weren't they great?
Meeting me at the front door. Are you my guest? Are you my guest?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's your job? Oh, nothing. I'm the mayor. You know, many years ago, I worked for Beloit Corporation. And one of the departments I was responsible for was maintenance. And I want to shout out to Mr. Drury and all his team here at Taconic. I have to tell you, I've never been in this building when it wasn't spotless. And some people say, well, that's their job. Yes, it is. But you have to understand this building opens like early in the morning and closes late at night. There's all kinds of people going all every which way but Sunday. So Mr. Drury and his team, thank you for all that you do. And for the school administration, thank you for all you do, and all the teachers and faculty and staff. It's a treat to come here.
Yeah. I mean, last night I was at Milltown Foundation's Core Impact Awards for Pittsfield Public Schools, where one individual from each of our schools, including the academies, received an award. And I think when you look at what the Pittsfield Public School System provides, we can pat ourselves on the back for the quality of teachers that we have.
Yeah, I know Roseanne was out this weekend, or I think it was this last Thursday or Friday, and bought plants from Mr. Callahan in the horticulture program. I know Mr. DeMarco, who works in the electronics program, and I used to know others, but some of them are retired. Can you believe that they retired?
Well, as we were kicking off the awards, Andy Werba was like, well, I'm a proud Pittsfield Public School graduate. And I'm like, well, I am too, Andy. And class of 1986. And for some of you in the room, you weren't even around when I graduated from high school. So retirement's closer today than it was 10 years ago.
Well, let me ask you this, and you brought up the topic. What's your intentions? Are you going to run for this job of being the mayor of the city of Pittsfield when it comes due again?
At the current moment, I intend on running again in 2027. You know, we are working on a whole host of issues.
Yes.
And
some of which I have right here.
You know, some are going to take a much longer to solve than others. But, you know, I look at what we're doing with the housing crisis, and you know, I think people forget about what the city has been doing or working with. And there's a variety of housing projects that are coming on board where there'll be maybe by first quarter 2026, 112 new units of housing in the city of Pittsfield that range from transitional housing all the way up to market rate housing. So, you know, I think that those are important things to highlight. And as well, you know, former Mayor Tyre and the team really took a unique approach and invested $4.6 million of ARPA funding for the Housing Resource Center that is being built within Zion Lutheran Church.
Right.
And, you know, that facility can't come quick enough.
Yeah.
The services that that facility will supply, you know, things that we take for granted, but phone charging stations, mailboxes so folks can have an address, showers, shared kitchen so that folks could prepare meals there rather than trying to figure out where they eat next or how that works. And then, you know, services. Not in-your-face services, but if you're looking for help in terms of for jobs, there'll be someone there to help you. If you're looking for housing help, there'll be someone there to help you. Folks with mental health and substance use issues, there should be someone there to help you. And so the city is diligently working on that piece. And quite frankly, that piece would not happen without the investment of city dollars because the only investor in that is the city.
And you know, I just want to go back for a moment. And, you know, I don't go to the city council meetings because there's no recliners. And if you put recliners in, I'll come. But I stay home and I watch it. And I have to congratulate you, Mr. Mayor, and all the councilors. I think some of the people that went to the open mic were unaware of the complications of homelessness, to be quite honest. As and the operative word here is old. Old B-cop from North Street. We had people that were homeless when I was on in the 80s, the 1980s. Well, you got to straighten it out because some people think, looking at us, it was the 1780s. But I think what the city is trying to do with limited funding, there's not an endless well. But I love what they're doing at the Lutheran Church because it's addressing the multitude of issues.
Correct.
And people who go up to these open mics and make comments and I think kind of disrespectful and things are not that. That's just my opinion. Oh, by the way, let me say this because otherwise you'll get in trouble. The views and opinions on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, the mayor in the city of Pittsfield, Peter White, in the city council, and or the person riding northbound in the southbound lane on their bicycle. I applaud what you're doing. You're taking a big bite out of a festering wound.
Well, I think that what I've done basically is put the grenade in my hand, pull the pin, and threw it.
Yeah. No, you're still holding on.
Well, maybe I'm still holding on to it. But I think there are so many issues to address.
Yeah.
And, you know, a resounding theme that came out of one of those meetings is where will they go? And that's a question that I can't answer.
Right.
That's an answer that they can't answer. That's an answer that a lot of our service providers can't answer.
Right.
But what I'm looking at is 112 units coming on board in the very near future. There have been some things that this has brought out for me to look at, and we need to do a better job of ensuring that some of our partners are towing the line that they need to be towing.
Right.
And understanding how expensive housing is and understanding how complex and how long it takes in order to come to fruition. I had a tour of the old White Terrace apartments.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And toured the, you know, two of the three buildings with the developer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we continued to have conversations, and I continued to ask, how did the project go?
Yeah.
How was it with working with the city of Pittsfield? Because it's, you know, a new developer to the city. Yeah. And when I left, it was, let's talk about the next project.
Wow.
And then I just ran into him the other day because they had run into an issue with being able to get electrical boxes for each of the units. So the project slowed down. The electrical boxes are in, and he was just heading to City Hall the other day for a meeting with the building inspectors, and we were in the roadway between Dunham Mall and City Hall, and he stopped the car and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Mayor, as I promised, there will be people watching the 4th of July parade from their apartment, because we'll be open towards the end of June, beginning of July, and so that, you know, that opening is coming." And so I then said to him, "Where's the next project?"
Yeah.
And he said, "I don't know, Mr. Mayor, you tell me."
Tell me.
So, you know, we need to continue to look at what we're doing for housing. I am eagerly awaiting the report back from our consultants about Hibbard School and what that can look like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my understanding that there's three options to that project. One being an extreme of completely tear down the building and rebuild. Which I think can garner us 50 units of housing. And the other two, I don't know what those entail at the moment. You know, picking one of those is probably going to be the easiest piece. Then we got to find the funding. And, you know, 50 units is probably a $15 to $19 million project.
Yeah. If you can get the, and then now there's the supply delay, supply change. I know people are even doing things in their homes. They're three quarters done, and they're waiting for that one piece to come in from somewhere.
Right. You know, and then in order to move forward, the only thing that Hibbert School is being used for at the current moment is some refrigeration for Pittsfield Public Schools cafeteria stuff,
right?
And some storage for dry products. We'll need to find a home for that. And so as part of that process, we can work on those. But we need to take a very aggressive approach on housing. We have done a downtown housing study looking at vacant commercial properties that we can transform those from commercial properties to housing units, like has happened in a number of cases in the downtown area. And there are 12 sites that we identified, maybe three or four of them that really make the most sense. So, again, getting them into the pipeline to be able to...
And funded.
And funded. And so, you know, to think that the city doesn't have an aggressive approach on housing, I think is...
It's a misnomer.
Slightly not accurate.
Right.
A misnomer. But I would agree with the opposition that it's not enough, right? And so I think what we have to do is take a step back and, you know, I've had some conversations with folks as we're doing this. And, you know, there may be some valid points to, Mr. Mayor, maybe you should have thought this ordinance through a little bit more and brought in some additional people. But my thought process is, I think if I did that, people would have convinced me not to do this. And then the conversations that really need to take place wouldn't have taken place. And I have broad shoulders. I ran for public office. I know what it's like on any issue that you bring forward.
Yeah.
50% of the people are with you and 50% of the people are against you on a good day and or maybe a bad day. And you kind of work it through. And I think... In my 16 years on the city council and almost a year and a half now as mayor, collaboration and compromise have been at the forefront of who I am and what I do.
In knowing you, and in full disclaimer, I consider the mayor a personal friend, but he will tell you, we don't always agree, and friends can do that. You don't have to be nasty. When I first started in radio, the old cliche, we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. And as when I used to do call-in, people will tell you, once you got disagreeable, goodbye. but I do think some of the people, and I don't think they understand how complicated a forget the individual. That's very complicated. Why are they homeless? Well, there's a plethora of reasons. But now you go, okay, we're going to build 50 units. Okay, where are we going to get the money? What's the timeline? Who's going to – bids got to go out. There's all kinds of legal. So I would just ask the public to be not forgiving, but be patient. These things don't happen overnight. And the one on the old gym shoes – that thing is going up faster than I ever thought. And the one across from my second favorite place in the world, the hot dog ranch, that it's amazing, Peter. I mean, these places are being done. So let's congratulate what's happening rather than condemn what takes a long time to make happen. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, and I mean, I think the bigger issue is understanding how lengthy the process is to get us from point A to point B. But, you know, like, I think there's been a lot of good conversations that have happened in the last 2 weeks that, you know, bring stuff to the forefront. My biggest concern always is let's get the facts. Let's make sure that if we're a media source, we're actually reporting the facts. And, you know, numbers can be deceiving.
Yes.
And, you know, I had a conversation about a month ago with an organization, and we were talking about the point in time count that happens every year on the coldest day of the year. And, you know, the number shows that we had 16 shelterless people in the city. And so, you know, my first reaction probably was to be defensive and say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We have a warming center in the city, thanks to the work of ServiceNet. And days before I became mayor, I had a meeting with the administration at ServiceNet, and that came to fruition. And it wasn't an easy, let's open a warming center. There were a lot of complications to it, and it was open. And so having conversations with ServiceNet, you know, would we have turned those 16 people away on that night? And the answer I received was no. So when something happens, and I think one of the things I'm learning through this process is it's very quickly, easily able to try to blame people. And the other side trying to blame me or the city for not getting things done. Yeah. And, you know, I give Councillor Costa a lot of credit, and I gave her some credit last night for trying to slow down this process so that we can really engage in some fruitful conversations. But last night she sent me an email of a company that provides outdoor bathroom facilities.
Oh, wow.
Not like a porta potty. It's a permanent structure.
Wow.
And I saw one a couple of weeks ago when I was in Provincetown. They had one there. And I was like, oh, okay. So it looks like less chance for vandalism. It looks like it may be an opportunity. So now we'll explore the cost and we'll explore locations. You know, Councillor Pershlip had a petition last night for the city or for me to work with the council to find locations across the city to put lockers for people to store their stuff during the day or when they need a storm. And so all of these conversations, I'm sure, would not have come up if we weren't going through this process. And so at the end of the day, I will continue to work on the ordinance. Less so on the ordinance and more so on what we can do better.
Yeah.
But the ordinance is there. And quite frankly, the ordinance is nothing more than what we currently do in parks. And for me, and I'll say it, I almost feel like we're playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
You can't stay here, move your tent. You can't stay here, move your tent. That's not the solution.
No.
We can do better. And so what is that do better? It's time for the community to have a conversation of what that better is.
Yeah, and also, too, I think it's time to bring out the experts and say, here's the basis for homelessness. And I don't know statistically what the numbers are, whether it's people who just can't afford it. Well, that's one thing. That's probably the easiest fix. The other one is the mental health, the addiction, and all the things that go along. You said something. I have to say this because it's every time I hear somebody say statistically. I had a Dutch nun who taught statistics, and she used to say, let me tell you something. Figures don't lie, but liars can figure. So, and we see that pretty much every day. But all I'm saying is I understand the problem, and maybe being at one point a police officer, so I'm sensitive to some of the people who are on the street homeless. I think for the listening, many of the listening audience know this. We're mental health. We don't have sufficient mental health for our current needs right now. And so that's an issue that has to be worked on. And how do we fix that? So I think to be so critical about just buildings is the wrong approach. You're working as best you can on the buildings. Mm-hmm. And it's an age up. When I was a kid, I grew up in the North End. Behind Wacona Park's outfield fence was Hobo Village, we used to call it as kids, mm-hmm. in the summer. Springside Park, this isn't new.
Well, and that's the bigger piece for me, is that we need to make sure what we're doing is the best and right thing, is the best and right thing to do. And sometimes when we're involved, we really think what we're doing is the best, and it may not be.
Exactly.
And, you know, that may be some tough conversations that need to be had in the coming weeks of, well, that's great that you're there being helpful, but are you really being helpful?
Right.
Or are you creating another problem in a different space? And that's not a bad thing, right?
No.
I mean, anytime someone wants to step forward to help is a good thing, but we really need to make sure that what we're doing or what we think we're doing is the best for the solution for the person that we're discussing. And
the person, not to interrupt, the person is an individual.
Right. And that's, you know, based on the point in time count, there were 16 shelterless people, but about 187 homeless people, you know, couch surfing or in the shelter or in the shelters. That's 187 unique solutions that we would need to come up with.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we can get that granular. I think that we have to be a little more
spread out,
you know, 20 feet in the air, bigger picture in order to solve the problem.
Well, you know, again, when we stop and we take a look at the issues, I have a friend, a former boss that passed away about 3 months ago. He'd say if it were easy, everybody would be doing it, you know.
Well, and I think that's the bigger picture, and I hate saying this because I'm the mayor of Pittsfield, and it's my job to find solutions for Pittsfield.
Right.
But if this solution was that simple, the rest of the nation wouldn't be in the same crisis that we're in.
Well, that's exactly right. And I did get a comment, and I have to bring it up. And I don't disagree with it, but I don't agree with it. And that is, all these road jobs, they need to be done, but why do they have three in progress and none finished?
So
listen.
It's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
I continue to have conversations with the commissioner. You know, these road jobs are not being done by the city. They're being done by a contractor.
Yeah.
My sense is, and it's an uneducated guess, the equipment's needed.
Yeah.
For the different phases
isn't available.
are not the same.
Oh, so, right, that too?
Right, so as you do phase one, you go and rip up all the streets, pull all the old blacktop off.
Yeah.
Phase two is you kind of put down the first coat and deal with all the manhole covers, and then you put the final coat on. So my sense is, and far be it for me to tell a contractor what their job is, because I have no experience whatsoever in that arena. My concern in regards to all of this is that we communicate, and if something changes, we do a better job of, you know, changing the message if the message needs to change. And, you know, I see it all the time. We could talk about Pex Road Bridge and how long we thought that that was going to open. And even the day that it opened, the commissioner was speaking to another radio host somewhere and said, well, I'll be at the bridge at 10. And the next thing you know, the bridge is opening at 10. Well, the bridge didn't open until almost 1 o'clock. And so we need to be careful on the city's end of what our narratives are. When we post detours and we tell folks this is the process, we have to do it. And so when you live on Valentine Road and you've been seeing construction.
Do you know anybody?
No, nobody. When you've seen construction for the last 3 years and you try to come out of your driveway to turn right to go to work at City Hall and they're like, no, you can't go that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
I am the mayor.
The rule here is school buses, emergency vehicles, and people that live in this stretch of the road can go any way they want to. The rest of the traffic is being detoured. And I had a conversation with one of the flaggers, and they came up and put their arms on my window and leaned in. Oh, I know you. Oh. I said, exactly. I'm going that way. And as I'm traveling that way, I'll be calling the commissioner to say, we're changing the rules up here again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not fair for the people who are living there. And so, you know, for me, communication has got to be the biggest piece of what we're doing.
And you're doing, to your team, Catherine and Brittany, to your central office, of, I'll call it that, it's the mayor's office, you're doing a great team getting it out. Catherine must get up at 2 in the morning and put these things out, change on Valentine Road. But sometimes people have to read them, and not everybody's on the internet. The other, I just had that with the, I have to thank Rebecca and the parade committee, trying to fill out the form for somebody who's 78 years old online. Not easy, but to make it, you know, we wanted to be a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, don't forget the 4th of July parade. You can donate to the Eagle, or they always need money, and they don't always spend it. They bank it. I can remember Peter and I doing a show how many years ago when it didn't look like there was going to be a parade.
It was 2019.
Yeah, that long. Wow.
Because it was pre-COVID. Cause,
that's right, yeah.
2019, we had an extremely fruitful fundraising year, and then there was no parade in 2020 and no parade in 2021.
But what happened was the people came to the rescue, and that's the only thing you can say. The parade was in dire straits. We did the show, and all of a sudden the money started coming in. People started. And the people of Pittsfield, that's a – you know, when I was in Vietnam, there were, of course, I missed my family. I missed Christmas. But the one of the things I missed as much was the 4th of July parade. And so that is part of the stalwart or cornerstone of Pittsfield. We're going to have to take a break here in just a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned. Come back, and I'll tell you why. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of other important things to you, the citizens of the city of Pittsfield. And I say to Peter, the mayor, Mr. Mayor, I applaud you for what you and your team are doing. I don't always agree with everything, but you and I have been friends for 40 years. We don't have always never. But the important part is things are getting done. And in politics, that's so very, 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 in my opinion, very important. And I want to take, just before we go on to 30 seconds, thank you, students of this program at Taconic High School. I could not be more prouder of all of you and what we've done through this school year. And I have to thank Mr. Choquette and thank him for all in his courtesy and his wisdom. We're going to be right back no matter what. Stay tuned. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. If you're an impulse shopper, practice the two-day rule. Instead of making that impulse buy when you first see it, leave it on the shelf. In 2 days, if you still need it, then consider going back to buy it. This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome to the M&M Show. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
Listen to us every Tuesday from 10 to 12 for eclectic variety of 70s to today of every genre on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio like it used to be.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And I want to say thank you to, again, for people who are just tuning in, we are at the Taconic High School Studios being produced behind the scenes by Taconic High School 10th grade students, their first year in this course. And I, this has been a high point of doing radio for me at WTBR, coming out here once a month, roughly, to do a live show from Taconic. And the people at this high school have been so wonderful and accommodating, and the cleanliness to the maintenance people, the teachers, engaging, and and the staff. I would be remiss if I didn't say hello to Bev Nance and Rosemary Blake, two of the, I believe, longest-serving Pittsfield School Department officials. And today my guest is Peter Marchetti, and he is the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, for people that don't know that. In my personal opinion, I think he's doing an outstanding job. A lot of upward pushes since COVID, and funds drying up with the new administration, and there's a lot of unknowns in this budget season. I would like to just ask you about that. How how has the national scene affected the local scene?
So currently, it hasn't.
Oh, good.
But, big buts.
Yeah.
Everybody's budget cycle is on different timings.
Yeah.
You know, cities and towns, or at least the city's budget cycle really matches with the state's budget cycle. And in our preparation for the budget, we are continuing to do what we always do, and that utilizing the governor's budget as the budget to work off of. And in past experiences, the governor's budget usually is the most conservative and allows us the opportunity to, you know, plan accordingly. You know, we've had to make some adjustments as we've gone through the budget process. And, you know, our concerns are what will happen come September, October.
Sure.
When the federal government provides or produces their budget, if that budget's on time. And then I think all of us will end up trying to figure out, based on whatever that is, what it means for us. I mean, at the current moment, the city of Pittsfield's budget includes no layoffs, so no loss of personnel.
Yeah.
Obviously, if there are draconian cuts coming mid-year from the federal government, we'll have to address those. We've had to address issues that pertain to the president's executive orders in regards to DEI. And, you know, we've received several notifications from several departments. And the most, you know, recent, the one top of mind is in regards to the RSVP funding through AmeriCorps Seniors. And, you know, we had received the notification for year one of our contract, which was the year we're in, telling us that in accordance with the executive orders, we were out of compliance and we needed to revise our contract or our application and basically removing all the DEI narrative that was there.
Right.
I think the good piece, and again, I think it's more that we have to focus on continuing being who we are as a community.
Yes.
Not labeling what we're doing as part of a community. And I think if you go back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, there's a lot there that you can pull that we can use as protection.
That's right.
That we need to kind of figure out. But I don't think that the city of Pittsfield changes who it is or how we operate. We continue to do what we've always done. And just be careful of the language that we're using and ensure that we're citing the right source rather than DEI language that we know could be detrimental to the city.
And I also think how much of our budget is impacted by the state? Because the federal administration is taking some real shots at them.
Well, let's see, $65 million in Chapter 70 money, another $10 to $13 million in local aid, so $80 million of a $226 million budget is on the table. And
how much of that is fat? You know, I mean, I look around the school, the educational system. Fair disclosure, my wife was a teacher for over 40 years, and I often say this, I got a nice raise when she retired. And people say, how come? I said, because she had to stop buying stuff for the school, for the class. But I guess the reason I'm asking this is to kind of front load what might have to happen so that the backlash to the city isn't astronomical, because it's beyond, again, like homelessness. There's things beyond our control, the city's control.
So when we did our public hearing for the budget last week, I put some numbers on the table.
I saw.
And personnel costs between salaries, insurance, and retirement, that is 65% of the city's budget. Adding in debt service for projects that we're doing brought us to 80% of the budget. So 80% of the budget talks about two things, staff and debt service.
Yeah. And it's just not Pittsfield, because I've been in organizations, private and governmental. 80%, basically 80% is always the human cost.
So, you know, I think our job, or my job, the city's team's job, however you want to label it, is to continue looking at things. And it's very difficult to take this lens off that says, this is the way we've always done it, and put on another lens that says, let's get creative, right? Yeah. A year ago, we were in some, I would say, lengthy discussions regarding the way that we do trash, right?
Yes.
That's all we talked about for like 6 months.
I remember.
How do we do trash, and what size is the toter, and can you do this, and I don't like this, and it's going to make the city dirtier, and it's going to, and it's going to, and it's going to. Well, a year later,
here we are.
The legislation was enacted, and when the public service department budget comes forward on June 2nd, it is the only city's department whose overall budget is lower than last year. And we took the opportunity to add money to the snow and ice account, where we know it's been grossly underfunded for years. All contractual raises were provided in the budget. And we wouldn't have been able to do that without the $600,000 to $700,000 worth of savings that we're seeing from the transition to trash. And so, was it a very popular idea when we started out? No. You know, I had a phone conversation with Jim Roberto about a month ago as he came back to the Berkshires, and he's like, it's amazing how much different the gateway to the city looks with the toter system. And, you know, I think we first started having that conversation in 2006. So I asked myself that the compelling argument for me to continue the fight was the $600,000 or $700,000 in savings.
Right.
If we had done that in 2006 and we were able to save that kind of money, what could we have done with those monies over the last almost two decades differently? And so part of my job is to find new creative ways of doing things. And unfortunately, they're never popular, because it could be the best idea in the world.
That's right.
But it means change. And
Pittsfield does not do change well.
Change is difficult.
Yeah.
And so you just have to know how to kind of navigate the course.
I really do believe that, I'm going to contact you. I would like to be connected with some people from Casella, because I'd like to interview them and get their side of it. Because all I can say is I live on Williams Street, and what a difference. What a difference in the Casella drivers. What a difference in the way the trash pickup. Those 50-mile-an-hour winds, I said, oh, God, these things will be all over Hell's Half Acre. And they weren't. Some of them got blown over, but that was it. So, I mean, you're right. I'm a lifelong Pittsfielder. I've lived all over. But I can tell you, I can remember my own father and mother. They used to come and get the garbage cans or the trash cans from behind the house and carry them, dump them in a truck, and leave them on the side of the road. And that was, they were going to stop that. Well, you think that somebody tore down the American flag. Can you believe they're not going to be able to pick up the garbage anymore? But then afterwards, it worked out fine. And I just, like you said, a lot of it is perception. And a lot of it is changed. Right. People just...
And I'm not going to lie, it was a bumpy road.
Oh, I was with you, remember?
You know, it was a bumpy road. And, you know, I think if we had taken the approach of, oh, we made the transition, we're done, it would have been disastrous.
Yeah, but you didn't.
We had to stick to it. You know, the public outreach prior the public outreach after.
Yep.
I think were vital pieces. You know, and I think that the one thing that I really campaigned on was A, trying to figure out ways to do things differently, which we have done and continue to do. And the other was finding a better way to open the door of communication.
Sure.
And, you know, we do the monthly rounds to all the media to have conversations. We have the downtown quarterly stakeholder meetings where all the downtown business owners and stakeholders are invited. And, you know, I hear their concerns. I attempt to kind of look at stuff. You know, last summer, we really started a makeover of North Street.
Yeah.
You know, I felt it was imperative that Memorial Day weekend, as tourist season opened,
yeah,
our city looked like a city welcoming tourists. And you know, we've continued that into this year.
Yes.
And many conversations about streetscape. And I know the haters and the naysayers are having a field day with, oh my God, they're wasting more money on North Street. You know, we're trying to design a plan that works. The North Street design now, I think, is one that was put into place from a grant.
Yeah.
That was a pilot that we never came out of pilot stage.
Right.
And I think as we talk to business owners one by one and look at North Street, you know, in front of Marketplace, I think sends a message of welcoming, inviting space.
Yeah.
To dine, and with the recent outdoor cafe ordinances that we've passed.
Yep. Very nice.
We need the sidewalk space.
And
let's have some equity. Marketplace can have a great little
They do.
Place to sit, but Hot Harry's and Brazuco's really don't have the space. Espinito's across the street, or, you know, continue up North Street. The Soda Chef, do they have space if they wanted space? Marie's Eatery. The old Ponchos, it has a new name now, but keep traveling up North Street, you know. Does Rare want some outdoor dining space? Does BB's Hotspot want some outdoor dining space? We know Dottie's has already been creative and created that space. And I think that that atmosphere then begins to change who we are and what the community looks like.
Yeah, and again, it's vision, it's change, and it's timing. And you know, I mean, there's still a lot of human fat. We go to Dottie's every Saturday, and it's just some human factors. And I think what our police department does and our fire department and our EMS, and I've lived all over the world, and I think I know enough about those three groups. I will tell you, they should have awards for them because they do such a magnificent job. With, you know, I heard one person say the other day, I saw a cop car sitting down at Wacona Park. Did you also see a cop car when the helicopter landed to pick the person up? Oh, no, I was there then. So, I mean, but the one thing I do want to bring out, and I know this will bring me some hate mail, but I get it every day. I really think we need to take and this is to the people, a long, hard look at civil service, because it has not kept up with the time. It cost the city a fortune because of the lapse when I retire, and then by the time you can fill my spot, that's all overtime.
Right.
And we have to have, and that's what some people, well, why do they need all those cops? Well, if you get a call to your house, would you want to wait 25 minutes? Roseanne and I lived in Tucson. And when we lived there, El Paso, the response time was anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes for no matter what the call was.
So I think there's a very... there's a lot of support to have the conversation about civil service.
Yeah.
I think the bigger issue is the state getting out of the way to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, they opened the floodgates, for lack of a better term, and people started rushing, and then they closed the gates again to be like, whoa. You know, I think it makes much more sense to, you know, create your own system.
Yes.
And it doesn't, not everything about civil service is bad.
No.
So
in
the creation of what your system looks like, you can do the thing. And I think, you know, bigger picture, the police union today can handle.
That's right.
The issues that
we have a union
would happen, you know, through the civil service process, and probably better. And quicker. You know, it's we're close to engaging in that conversation.
Good.
The state just needs to.
Well, yeah.
Open the gates again and create that process for which a community can.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, and when my dad was a firefighter for 36 years, they didn't even have an association. That was a breakthrough for them to get an association. And now you're 100%. The outgrowth of the association was a slow civil service. Now it's worse than slow. It's totally, in my opinion, it's totally ineffective. Towns and cities can't wait all this period of time to fill a slot.
Right.
A lot of other places that I've lived, the community colleges picked up the slack. You pay, you go through all whatever the state recommends, and then you graduate, and then Pittsfield does a background investigation.
They have their own training.
Yes.
Training that they do. I mean, I think for me, it's the timing, right? There's a vacancy coming up in the PD. You need to do a civil service test, whatever you want to call it, assessment center testing. We know that there's a vacancy today. We might be able to get the testing in September or October. You might get
the results are in
November.
January. Yeah.
So you can pick someone in December.
And it'll be contested, and that'll go to court.
And so, like, wow, there's a position that's going to be vacant, and 7 months from now,
I can
finally fill that
position.
I'm glad that you're saying that. I have been really trying to take a deeper dive on our overtime and why, between police, fire, and public services, we do almost $5 million a year in overtime.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm asking the question, is there a better way to do things? And I think that, again, I think we started the conversation today about if we stop doing the blame game, you know, something doesn't have to be
right. Put our heads together.
If something doesn't have to be right or wrong.
Right.
It could be right or it could be wrong. But maybe there's something better that can come out of it. And to be closed-minded enough not to move forward and try to engage in that conversation. And
I think John F. Kennedy said it. It shouldn't be a Republican thing. It shouldn't be a Democratic thing. It should be the right thing.
Right.
And I think what you're saying is stop blaming people. I'm not going to vote for that. I don't think we have it that much currently with the group that's in office. But I think a few years back, and when you were in office, even on that group, there were people, if you said, I think it's white, I'll guarantee you there were three people say, no, it's black,
right,
when it's obvious that it was white. But I think now we have a pretty cohesive group. But I also think what you're saying is right. We got to stop this blame game and getting off in the weeds with nonsensical bovine.
Well, and again, you know, I think that not good or bad, but my priority to communication is an important piece. And so communication, not just with the council, but communication with the general public.
I think I'm doing a good job.
You know, makes a huge difference in where we're going. And look, I know every day that I wake up, I'm coming in to do the best job I can do. It may be right. It may be wrong.
Yeah.
But it's every day with good intentions, doing the best that I can do. And there's a lot of nights that I go to bed that I can't sleep because the what ifs. Yeah. You know, what if the federal administration pulls $10 million of funding that we need for the school system? What do I do then? What does the city look like then? There are so many challenges on the horizon that if I tried to solve all of them at one time,
sure,
I'd be burnt out. And so, you know, early on I took the motto, I'm mayor of the city of Pittsfield, and I'm going to take one day at a time. I'm going to take one issue at a time, and I'm going to try to make things better. And that's up to everyone else's personal interpretation if I'm doing better or not.
Well, and again, I think, too, the people who, even with me, I mean, basically, I don't know, I just talk to people, and if they don't like what I say, well, then I get hate mail. But I or the person. but I think when people actually sit back and close their mouth and listen, you know, my saintly Irish mother used to say, don't you know, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Think about it. What should you use the most? So, and I do think, and I do think even, I have to say Pete White, I like, he's got a calmer manner. He does, I like the way he runs the city council, and I think he's doing a good job. And all the councilors, I mean, some kind of embellish the problem, but it is what it is. They're there, they're elected, they deserve respect. And they deserve respect on the school committee. And a topic for another, perhaps, meeting, Mr. Mayor. We're running short on time. One more promote. I got to do this. And 4th of July parade needs your support. This man here knows more about the 4th of July parade than the pilgrims who fought on the bridge there. But really and truly, for the years and years that you and Sue and that whole team gave to that making that parade happen, I can't thank you enough. And that's why I'm asking all of your help to help us make it a nicer parade. And us being WTBR, all the effort and all that that group of individuals do to make the broadcast that parade. My brother who passed, God rest his soul, just before Thanksgiving this year, used to watch the parade and loved it. Last words?
I'll echo your sentiments of support the parade. It'll be great this year to be there just as the supporting actor and not the person fully responsible for the event as the chairperson of the parade committee.
Yeah.
And I look forward to assisting and marching.
Yeah, and marching, yeah. I look forward to being in front of St. Joseph's Church where I've been
I'll see you there.
50 years. And, folks, thank you for all for listening. And, you know, I know sometimes this upsets some people. I get your text. But here's the thing. I say it every time in closing. God bless. And today, let's lift somebody's burden. Make them smile. Help them out. Call them on the phone. Visit them. And remember, we're all in this together. So let's help each other, not step on each other. God bless. Talk to you soon. And, Way, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for coming. And another guy who's not anywhere in the immediate vicinity, he's over there on Federico Drive. I know how he loves to get up early. Thank you, Sean Sayers, for being the intermediary. Bye-bye.